Donald Trump is about to be sworn in as president, and each president and first lady usher in a new era of food at the White House. Sally Squires, who writes the Lean Plate Club blog, is here to look at food and exercise through the years at the White House. Sally, how has food at the White House changed over the years?
Well, it's actually changed a lot. So many of us remember Ronald Reagan and his jelly beans, right? And some of us are old enough to remember Jackie Kennedy actually bringing French cuisine into the White House, which seemed very exotic and sophisticated at the time. But she actually wasn't the first to do that. It turns out that Thomas Jefferson, who had been a minister to France for the very early U.S., that he loved French food. And he not only brought it into the White House, but he brought back his own chef. And he had one of his slaves named Heming. He was trained as a French chef. So this was a big thing for him. The other thing that I found that Jefferson did, he loved pasta. Pasta was apparently really getting into its heyday in his era in Europe. And he actually created plans for his own pasta machine. You know, he's quite an inventor.
Wow.
And he did that. And I don't know if it was ever made, but the White House has found that. And of course, more recently, we know that First Lady Michelle Obama has just done a wonderful job of highlighting healthy eating, putting in a White House garden. She, you know, has reminded us how important eating healthy is to healthfully is to help prevent childhood obesity. But even back like in World War I thought this was kind of interesting. Woodrow Wilson put 48 sheep on the White House lawn. So Michelle Obama wasn't the first one to kind of think of it as an agrarian place. And he did that during World War I to trim the lawn so that they didn't have to expend energy or valuable resources in keeping the lawn short.
Nice. Have there been other well-known favorite foods of presidents?
Yes. So I looked back. I wanted to see, I was kind of curious what George Washington liked. So it turned out that he was quite a fish eater. And by the way, I should say that most of this material comes from the Library of Congress and from the White House Historical Association and from other culinary historians. So George Washington loved fish. He was very sparing in eating desserts. So he was a big sweet guy. But he loved to snack on nuts, especially hazelnuts. And his libation of choice was Madeira wine,
wow,
which he really liked a lot. So Abraham Lincoln, on the other hand, was curious what he liked to eat. So he apparently got up early in the morning and he'd have a cup of coffee and he wouldn't really eat breakfast until about 10 a.m. when he had an egg and a biscuit. And then for lunch, it was often a glass of milk, a biscuit, and if it was summer, he might have a bunch of grapes. He was also, according to his biographer, Carl Sandburg, he was a big lover of gingerbread. And Mary Todd, his wife, was apparently known for making a delicious vanilla almond cake, which was well known. Doesn't it sound good?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, since we're about to have another inauguration, at Lincoln's second inauguration, apparently the public didn't act the way they should have. And the White House chefs had put out these wonderful confectionaries that, like, the Capitol was in the middle of one and some others that were apparently really intricate and just beautiful. Well, press reports say that the public, for 300 or 400 people, came into the inaugural hall and they were so hungry that they just, like, kind of stomped on everything and they were cited for not very good behavior. Mm-hmm. And within the hour, the entire floor was sticky and just a huge mess, but they apparently consumed everything.
All right. Well, let's talk about the inaugural luncheons, because that's always a big part of the day. Anything memorable from the past?
Yeah. So I didn't realize that the inaugural luncheons didn't really start until President McKinley's time, which was in 1897. And even then, they didn't really take hold until the mid-1950s. So for reasons that I still don't understand, Jimmy Carter actually canceled his luncheon, which is usually given by Congress. And I think it's probably that first attempt for Congress and the president to kind of get together. He canceled his in 1977. Ronald Reagan's first inaugural luncheon featured California salad, medallions of chicken with rice pilaf and fresh asparagus, followed by a strawberry framboise dessert. George H.W. Bush dined on lobster ragu salad, grilled chicken with rice pilaf and asparagus for dessert. And I might point out that there was no broccoli, which was something that he really did not like.
Right.
But there was a pear crisp and vanilla ice cream. And then Bill Clinton's first inauguration lunch featured salmon, rosemary chicken with pecan rice, gingered carrots, and in fact, his did have broccoli. For dessert, they had an apple brown Betty.
Have presidential eating habits ever become an issue in the press?
Yeah, and this kind of resonated for current days. You know, it turned out that Teddy Roosevelt apparently was very offended by something that was printed in the Washington Post, which suggested in 1906 or something like that, that he and his family ate 3- and 4-course breakfasts, lunch, and dinners. And he was so irate by this that he actually wrote back to the Post, and they did print his letter. So he basically said that it was rife with errors, you know, mm-hmm. what else is new from presidents and the press, and it left the complete wrong impression. He went through in kind of chapter and verse what his family actually ate, which wasn't nearly what the Post had said. So it was just kind of a throwback to that time when presidents, even 100 and some years ago, were still having problems right. with the press.
What about the presidents and exercise? How's that changed through the years?
Yeah, so generally, it appears that presidents have been in pretty good shape, and that makes sense. This is a leader. This is kind of a CEO of a nation. You know, it makes sense that they're in good shape. Well, there are a couple of exceptions. So William Howard Taft, who weighed 350 pounds, often got stuck in the bathtub, I guess, more than once. So that was a problem. Franklin Pierce apparently drank a little more than he probably should have. And Grover Cleveland didn't exercise at all and smoked a lot. But Thomas Jefferson, so again, one of our early presidents, was apparently ahead of his time in leaving the afternoons free to exercise. And in more modern times, we know that Bill Clinton and the Bushes have been, you know, very active people. Most of them have jogged. We know that President Obama has, you know, he jogs and he plays golf and he shoots hoops very faithfully. And we don't know a lot about Trump yet, but we do know that he does play golf. So I think we'll have to see what happens.